Around about 1995, they reintroduced wolves back into the Yellowstone National Park. And guess what? It changed the entire direction of rivers. Now, the question you might be asking is, what do wolves have to do with the direction of a river flow? Well, there's a story behind it. You see, around about the 1930s, the last wolves were killed in the Yellowstone National Park. And because the wolves were predators of the elk began to proliferate. So you got more and more elk. By the thousands, they started to breed. And what happened was, because there were no serious predators, they started to cluster into certain areas. And those areas happened to be near rivers, and they ate up the willow trees. And those willow trees were necessary for the survival of the beaver population. But then, what happened with the beavers? They decreased in number because they couldn't survive without the willows. And all the dams that they used to build got washed away eventually. But then in 1995, and this was mind-boggling even for scientists up till today, when they reintroduced the wolves, what the wolves did was they started to control the elk population. And because they started controlling the elk population, the beaver population went up. And because the beaver population went up, they began to make more dams. And those dams changed the flow of the river. And the entire ecosystem of the Yellowstone suddenly changed. Now there was less erosion. The beaver population and other populations began to thrive just because the elk population was controlled by the wolves. So the question is, where am I going with all this? What is my point? My point is this, that when you look at nature, nature is it's an extremely complex system of systems of systems. And that's how the quality of nature is. And if you take away one aspect from that system, there's a chance that the rest of the system will be affected. Downstream, there's going to be serious effects, or the system could collapse. And that's why wherever we found human intervention, human interference in nature, we found that usually there was a disaster. Now, what's the point of this? The point of this is that as human beings, we are a microcosm of what's happening out there in nature, because we are systems of systems. Now, before I go forward, I just want to tell you where I am. I am in the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal. And I'm actually sitting right now in a coffee farm, an actual production farm where they grow coffee berries and they separate them from the beans, and they roast the beans. You can even roast your own beans here, and you can buy those beans. It's a place called Mapenyati Coffee. Now, I love the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal because I find that it's one of the hidden gems of South Africa. It's a place of extreme beauty, yet it's one of the most underrated places. It's almost, I would say, a hidden gem of South Africa. It's a place where you come for peace, calm, tranquility. And it's where I come to think. It's where I come when I'm stressed out, when I'm looking for ideas, I'm looking for my creativity to blossom. This is the place that I come to. I mean, I always say there are a lot of places that I really love in South Africa. Cape Town, the Drakensberg. But this is really a true hidden gem. There's beaches, there's nature, there's wildlife. You can take walks in nature. You can see some of the wildlife around here. And of course, coffee farms. As a coffee lover, I am so thrilled that there are actual coffee farms, and you can go for a tour and look at what's going on. You know, what's the whole process of how coffee is produced. It's actually quite brilliant. But let me come back to my topic. So we as human beings, we are a microcosm of nature. We are systems within systems. And the thing about all these systems that make us up are that they are all interlinked. And if one of those systems is damaged or affected, then it affects all the other systems. Now, I believe that we are made up of four major systems: our physical being, our mental being, our emotional being, and our spiritual being. These four put together is what makes us into complete human beings. And like I said, these are interconnected. If one of them is damaged, then the others also get damaged. And if they are all, looked after, if they're all cared for, then the whole being is in better shape. You know, the best way to describe it is of a vehicle, a car. A car has four tires. If one of those tires, or more than one of those tires, is flat, you just can't drive the car. You need to stop, change the tire, inflate it, and only then can you get going again. Without that one tire, at least the car won't stop. So in a similar way, if one of those systems within us is affected, it will cause, firstly, it'll cause us to have an imbalance. It'll cause us to not operate optimally. But not only that, but depending how bad the damage is, it could cause the other systems to start failing also. Now, when all these systems are working together, it's the most beautiful thing. It's the most mind-boggling thing. And it's something that boggles even scientists up till today, that how all these systems firing up together can make a human being what a human being is. I mean, you are more than the sum of your parts. You are so much more as a human being. I mean, think about your brain, the physical brain. It's just mushy material. But yet, that brain is what enables us to recognize the people we love and to feel the love for them. It enables us to be creative, to create works of art, to create beautiful works of literature, music. And it's what gives us all our superhuman abilities as human beings. I mean, a person can give a speech that is so powerful that it could move mountains, or write a piece of code that goes to change the world. That is the beauty of being a human being. And that is the potential of not just some, but every human being. Because if you look at it, the hardware is all the same, right? Everybody has a skull. Inside that skull, they have this gray matter, and that gray matter is what fires up. But it's the interoperation of those four systems that makes certain people more effective than others, or makes us more effective at certain times than at others. Now, let me give you an example. You wake up one morning and you are sick. You're just physically sick. You got a cold, you got a flu, you got a fever. What happens to your mind? You can't think clearly. Yet, it's not a mental issue that you are facing. It's a physical issue. But the physical sickness affects your mental health. But not just that, it also affects your emotional well-being. It affects every aspect of you. So that's what I mean when I say those systems are all interrelated. Now, let's look at the systems that make us up. The most obvious is that we are physical beings. As human beings, we have bodies, we have arms, legs, organs. And this physical being needs to be looked after, because this is the foundation of everything. I mean, if you are not in good health, very little else matters. I mean, think about being in the most beautiful, scenic place with somebody you love, but you've got a severe tummy ache. Will you be at ease? Will you be able to enjoy that moment? You'll never be able to enjoy that moment because of the unease. In the same way, we can have everything in the world, but if physically we are not well, very little matters. If you are sickly, very little matters. You know, I was reading a story about an American billionaire. His name was Howard Hughes. Towards the latter part of his life, he became so ill, as the legend goes, that all he could eat was dry toast. And he made an offer to people. He said, if somebody finds a cure for my ailment, I'll give them my entire fortune, just to be able to enjoy a good, wholesome, hearty meal. You know that thing you and I take for granted? Just to be able to eat a good meal. Now imagine not being able to eat the things that you love most, the things that you enjoy the most, and instead having to eat brown, dry toast all the time for every meal. It'll be not a life worth living. And here you have this billionaire who is ready to give away his entire fortune just so that he can eat a normal meal that you and I will probably enjoy in a couple of hours' time. Now, the physical self is, like I say, the basis and needs to be looked after. And we do this by basically eating well, exercising, keeping fit, And the better you eat and the more fit you are, the better the foundation for everything else. You're basically setting yourself up for success in what's to follow. Now, when we talk about the mental part of being a human being, I came across a story. The story is a very sad one. It's of an Italian Renaissance polymath, let's call him that. His name was Giordano Bruno. Now, Giordano Bruno was a brilliant person with multiple skills. He was a philosopher, mathematician, astronomer, you name it. You know how people were in those days. And through his learning, he discovered that Galileo's theory around heliocentricity, that the sun is at the center of the solar system and the earth goes around the sun and not the other way around, the more he studied this, the more he became convinced and the more he came to be on Galileo's side. But unfortunately, this went directly against the Catholic Church. So what they did to him was, they decided, first and foremost, we'll take his books away. And then, when that wasn't good enough, they locked him in prison for a few years. And when that wasn't good enough, then they burnt him at the stake. But look at the first act. To prevent people from going against their ideologies, what was the first thing they did? They took his books away. They took his knowledge away. Why? Because they realized that that is what drives people to start thinking. And when people start thinking, then they start questioning the status quo. And if there's any nonsense, if there's any BS, then they start questioning that. So knowledge is power. Knowledge is what empowers human beings to be independent thinkers, to be critical about anything and everything, about the system. And especially where there's oppression, where there's something going on that is not in their best interest. Now, the sad part is that in medieval times, to control populations, they used to take the knowledge away. Yet you and I, we have in our pockets the biggest library ever known to mankind, right there in our devices. And we should have hence been a community, a population of intense learning. We should have been producing polymaths by the dozens. People like Galileo or Al-Khwarizmi or Ibn Rushd, philosophers, scientists, mathematicians of the highest caliber, and people who work across different fields of science, across different disciplines. We should have been a very informed nation, an informed population, an informed civilization, but we aren't. You know why? Because the powers that be actually came up with a better plan than taking knowledge away from people. A much, much better plan and a much more effective plan. And that plan is, take the love for knowledge away from them. Make them dislike knowledge. Make them not want to read those books. So you can place the best books in front of them, the best courses, the best learning and knowledge in front of them, and they will not touch it. Why? Because they don't like it. Instead, they are more interested in entertainment. They are more interested in doom scrolling on their devices, on social media, hours upon hours upon hours of short form videos, just videos, or playing video games, or watching series, binging on series, and keeping their minds completely absorbed in that. Now, I know what you might say, that there is learning in videos, and I agree with you 100%. There is learning on television, you can watch a documentary. But the effectiveness of learning from short form video has been proven to be very low versus maybe reading a book or doing an online course. Now, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. We are living in times where there is a lot of time on our hands. We are not as involved with our daily livelihoods. We don't have to go to the farms and work. There's not much to do. We are a privileged civilization. We are a privileged society. But the thing is that when it gets a bit too much, when we overdo it a bit, then we start to lose that passion for learning. And then we become a little more docile and easier to control by the powers that be. I mean, we've seen this. We've seen this too many times in recent history. I don't want to go into the gory details of it. But the best way to control populations, keep the knowledge away from them. And the best way today to keep the knowledge away is to just basically make them not love learning. And so that is the trouble with our times. This technology that we could easily use to become enlightened, intelligent, thinking, critical, is being used against us to control us because we are simply using it for entertainment. Now, if you want to grow professionally, if you want to grow as a human being, then let me give you some advice. Look after your mind. Take care of your mind. Be careful what you put in it. The best analogy I can think of is no person in their right mind is going to go to the neighborhood and pick up all the neighbor's garbage and offload it into their own living rooms. You wouldn't do that in your living space. Why would you do that in your mind? Why would you fill your mind with garbage? Why would you fill your mind with nonsense? Take care of that beautiful mind of yours. That is the basis of your intelligence. Fill it with intelligent stuff. Fill it with things that make you a better person, that makes you more creative. So that's the second part. Physical, mental. Now let's go to the emotional part. I believe that the strongest emotion is love. I believe that, and I firmly believe this, and this is debatable. I don't need everybody to believe this, but I believe that you can achieve more with love than with any other emotion in the world. Love conquers everything. Love will help you to, you know, swim the deepest ocean, climb the highest mountain, just to get a bit poetic about it. But it goes more to more than just romantic love or love for your beloveds. It goes to work also. And it's something that I always stress and emphasize. When you love what you do, when you love the people you work with, when you love to wake up in the mornings and go to work, you'll never work another day in your life because that love will drive you. And then when there are challenges, and I'm not saying if, I'm saying when, because no matter what line of work you are in, you might be doing the thing that you love most in the world, but there are going to be challenges. There are going to be times when life kicks you in the teeth, in the head, drops you down. What do you do? It's that love and that passion that helps to pick you up and get going again. That is why I believe that love and passion are the most important things. Now, it's also the love that we have for our partners, our children, that enable us to be strong. I mean, you know, there's a saying that behind every successful man, there's a woman. Now, it works in reverse also. It's not the person and their own abilities that alone can succeed. It's also that emotional support that they get. You come back home from a really rough day at work and you have somebody there who is there to console you, give you a big hug, speak kind words to you. That matters more than anything else in the world. To be able to have people that you love, people that you trust with all your heart, people who you can't live without. Now that's the emotional well-being. It's the relationships that we nurture. Now unfortunately, many people think that, you know, life is all about work, work, work. And they sacrifice their relationships as a result. It reminds me of something that Stephen Covey said in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He said something to the effect that too many people spend their lives climbing the ladder only to find that ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. They come out with everything, with all the makings of success, wealth, fame, you name it. But they lost out on relationships. Why? Because they worked so hard, they neglected their partners. Partner is gone. They worked so hard, they neglected their children. Little birds have flown from the nest. and they are gone. They are independent. Now you want to nurture relationships with them. When the time is gone, when it's too late, when you've lost every opportunity, when you squandered every opportunity. So let's not make that mistake. Let's not make that mistake of losing out on our relationships, on the people, because that's what matters ultimately. And then we go to the spiritual well-being of a human being. Now, many people equate spirituality with religion. While this, you know, I believe this is somewhat true, it's not entirely true, because you can find a lot of so-called religious people who are spiritually dead. But what exactly is spirituality? In my view, spirituality is knowing your place in the universe around you. We are all born into this world, we are born into this universe, and we are surrounded by people and things, and knowing what is our relationship to them and what are our rights and responsibilities and what are our duties and responsibilities to them, that is spirituality. But it also includes our duties to ourselves. Now let me explain. First and foremost, I'm a Muslim and I believe that it's fine, I'm just recording. I believe that our first responsibility is to the man above, is to God, and then to ourselves, because we have a responsibility to ourselves. Remember what I said about looking after ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Yes, we have a responsibility, every single one of us, to ourselves. So don't try and be a martyr and sacrifice yourself for others. No, you can do that, but you also, your body has a right over you, your mind has a right over you, your emotions have a right over you. You need to take care of that. That's a gift that is entrusted to you. Okay, then there's your relationship to fellow human beings, your close relatives, your mom, your dad, your children, your spouse, people in your community, people who share the same views as you, same religion as you, people who don't share the same views and religion as you. What are your responsibilities? What is your role and responsibilities? How do you interact with them? See, that's spirituality. How do you interact with other creatures, non-human creatures, God's living creatures? How do you interact with non-living things? So it's everything. It encompasses your relationship with everything around you. And I believe that religion gives you a framework for that. Religion makes it easy for you to identify and understand those rules and responsibilities. And that's why I feel religion is such an important aspect in life. Now, in conclusion, it's like a speech. Let's not be what Stephen Covey said. You know, those people who spend their lives climbing the ladder and find that, you know, we've just made the wrong choices. You sacrificed your family, you sacrificed your health, you sacrificed spirituality, you sacrificed your children just to get that financial gain. And come the other side of your life, when it's all too late, then you suddenly realize, maybe I might have made the wrong choice. So what's the best thing to do? The best thing to do is look after these four aspects. Live a balanced life. Know when you need to draw the line, where your boundaries are. Now, I've got a lot more details about this in the IT Varsity blog. You can go to itvarsity.org. I'll put the link in the description. I've put the details. But there are 9 rules. So firstly, set meaningful goals. Goals that take care of your whole being, who give you a balanced life. Number 2, embrace mindfulness. Number 3, cultivate adaptability, meaning be ready for change and embrace change. Next, when you achieve something, celebrate it. Don't always look for that next hill and ignore the hill you've just climbed. That's a sure way to just get depressed. And celebrate your achievements with the people you love and celebrate their achievements also. Next, find inspiration through all over. I mean, there's inspiration everywhere, not just in human beings. Sometimes you'll find inspiration in nature just by looking at how a mother bird looks after her kids. There's inspiration there. There's inspiration everywhere. Then balance your responsibilities. Work is important, but balance that out with everything else. Next, prioritize your life goals. So important. Understand what are the proper goals to have and give each item its proper place. Next, whatever challenge you face, overcome them. Be strong. Learn ways to be strong and resilient. It's like I said before, sometimes life kicks you in the head and drops you down. Get up. Get up and get going. You know, I believe, and it might sound weird, it might sound cruel, but sometimes God just knocks you down only to see if you get up. And when you do get up, then His help just comes. And finally, go and read the blog on the IT Varsity website. Don't forget to leave me your comments. Thanks so much.